heaven. We all want to get there. After all, it's our ultimate destination, right? Jesus founded the church and gave us the sacraments to help us get to heaven because he knows we're going to stumble and fall along the way. The key is to take his hand, get up, and try again. That's what practicing Catholic is all about. How to accept God's grace and mercy and live as his daughters and sons. At times, it seems out of reach. But we know, with God, all things are possible. Learn to draw inspiration for practical ways we can live in God's love, how to serve God and his people as his local church, and hear about what's happening in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. Sit back, relax, and settle in for this week's Practicing Catholic.
Welcome to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, happy to be with you yet again. You know, here at Practicing Catholic, we're all about sharing all the good things that God is doing in our midst, right here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. And God is always doing great things. As I'm sure most, if not all, of our astute listeners know, we had a new auxiliary bishop ordained this last Tuesday. Speaking of God doing great and amazing things, he was ordained on our patronal feast of the conversion of St. Paul. His Excellency Bishop Joseph Williams is now elevated to the episcopacy. We hope to have him on the show with us very soon, but for the time being, let's take a listen to a couple minutes worth of his remarks that he gave at the close of his ordination on Tuesday.
The documents that surround the ordination of a bishop, one of them talks about the special responsibility to cultivate vocations amongst the young people. As I finish these words, I want to remind all of us that St. Paul is an example for each one of us. And he's an example especially to our young people, letting ourselves be loved by Christ and then sharing him with others. That's gospel, and that's the mission. And there was a great saint who was named for St. Paul in part, Pope John Paul II, St. John Paul. At a meeting in Boston in 1998, he said these words, which I'd like to share with all of you, but I want to share in particular with the young people. He says this, "I turn especially to you boys and girls, young and not so young, who find yourselves at the decisive moment of choice. I would like to meet you one by one, call you by your name, talk to you heart to heart, of things extremely important not only for yourselves but for the whole human family. I would like to ask each one of you, what will you do with your life? What are your plans? Have you ever thought of committing your existence totally to Christ? Do you think that there can be anything greater than bringing Jesus to people and people to Jesus? Follow Christ. You who are single or who are preparing for marriage, follow Christ. You who are old or young, follow Christ. You who are sick or aging, follow Christ. You who feel the need of a friend, follow Christ."
Our new Auxiliary Bishop, Joseph Williams. Congratulations, Your Excellency. I pray you can continue to get a warm reception from the people of the Archdiocese, perhaps a bit more unanimously positive than that which our Lord received when speaking at the synagogue, which is what we hear from our gospel lesson for this Sunday, the fourth Sunday of Ordinary Time. Well, personally, I am confident that our Lord set the example for all of us who count ourselves his follower, including Bishop Williams. We do what we are called to do because it's the Lord who is asking us to do that. Our fidelity to him is of central prime importance. People's reaction will inevitably vary. In fact, didn't the Lord himself promise that we would have trouble in this world? Nonetheless, our call as practicing Catholics is to remain faithful to all the Lord is calling us to do. Another great show in store for us today. In our Catholic schools, it's relatively easy to imagine ways to factor our faith into courses such as history, literature, social studies, civics, maybe even language courses. But how should we approach the STEM courses, science, technology, engineering, and math, from a Catholic perspective? Well, The Catholic Schools Center of Excellence, or CSCO, has a new initiative to address just that question, and it's called CSTEM, or Catholic STEM. We'll hear all about it from Brian Riggetts and Mike Girard. Next, walking the journey of faith is best done as a group activity. Sadly, though, when someone lags behind or strays from the path, we might not always take the time to help them catch up. Here with some tips on how to walk compassionately and constructively with others, even when they may have strayed off the path, are Father Jim Livingston and Nick Brady. They'll share about their Next Steps program. And finally, our Catholic schools will be celebrating Catholic Schools Week this coming week. But the celebration itself isn't limited to dedicated faculty, staff, and students. All of us here in the Archdiocese can and should celebrate, support, and encourage our Catholic schools. Here to tell us how are Jen Fasano and Gail Stoffel from the Office for the Mission of Catholic Education. That's all coming up here on the show today. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, give the show over to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother. Please pray with me in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, both you and I know that our Catholic schools are doing great things in our Archdiocese by providing a hearty education rooted in Christ. Today, we're honing in on a unique offering from the Catholic Schools Center of Excellence partnership with the University of St. Thomas. Together, they've created CSTEM, or Catholic STEM, a science, technology, engineering, and math education initiative rooted in the Catholic faith. Brian Riggetts is the president of CSCO, and Mike Girard is the manager of St. Thomas's CSTEM Lending Library, which we'll be learning more about. We're grateful to have both of them here joining us today on Practicing Catholic to share about this exciting offering. Gentlemen, welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, wonderful to have you both on. Brian, let's start with you. Taking this whole CSTEM thing into account, tell us a little bit about what it is and what the goals of CSTEM are.
Yeah. Well, again, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. You know, Catholic schools, I really think they have a unique calling to form young scientists, technicians, engineers, mathematics, really through programs that connect faith and reason. And unfortunately, doing these things costs a lot of money. Science is one of those subjects that requires things. And tangible things that can cost a lot. And CSCO is honored to support resources so these schools can provide this for their kids. I think at the end of the day, there are really three goals that we try to have because of this. Number one, we just want to equip all teachers with what we would call a best-in-class STEM training and skills. Mm. Number two, create STEM-literate students, so to speak, where they're well prepared for higher education and promising careers. Then number three is offer access and opportunities for young people to explore these related concepts and nourish interest in science that starts early in life. And you know, at the end of the day, though, kids learn in so many different ways. Some learn by doing things by themselves. Some learn better by doing things with other students. Some learn by hearing, some learn by doing, and some learn by seeing. And this opportunity brings all of these things together with one really important ingredient that we can't forget in schools, which is fun. Hmm. And CSCO is just honored to be able to bring this to our schools.
Yeah, and wonderfully that it's done from a Catholic perspective as well. We'll get into that in just a moment. But Mike, I want to swing over to you for a moment. What is St. Thomas's role in providing resources for our Catholic schools through this new CSTEM program?
So the role of the university, we are based in the engineering department here at St. Thomas. And so we're bringing cutting-edge technology and best practices from the university, especially the hard sciences, into our Catholic school classroom. And so we're really getting a leap forward. And as Brian said, he talked about, you know, literacy, and one of the things that our Catholic schools excel at is reading literacy. And your STEM program isn't going to be very strong if your school struggles with literacy. And you know, being a former Catholic school principal myself, I know what a great job we do. And so our schools have a leg up because when our students are engaging in these STEM lessons, they're generally not struggling with the content. They're able to get into the nuts and bolts of the lesson.
That makes sense to me that literacy would play a foundational role in any sort of academic environment. But specifically,
that's right, every single one.
Right, right, exactly. But specifically, I can see it bearing much fruit in terms of science, technology, engineering, and math. Just very important. So that's great. Mike, we'll come back to you in a moment. Brian, I want to come back to you specifically. As I said before, I think one of the amazing things that that might be incredible about specifically the C-STEM initiative is that it does seek to incorporate, or it takes on science, technology, engineering, and math specifically from a Catholic perspective. And you know, there's probably a number of people out there who are still of the mindset that science and faith, they don't interact, they don't intersect. Now, we know here at Practicing Catholic, of course, we know that's not true, but for the sake of argument, what significance is there to gaining an education in these areas, especially one that's rooted in Catholicism?
Yeah, it's a great point, and I think you're right. You know, one of the greatest parts about Catholic schools is that we integrate faith into every subject, not just religion class, and it has a place in every subject, and science is really no different. I do think there's a misperception that Catholicism is anti-science and Catholic schools are behind the times, but really the opposite is true. Just last year, we had something we'll talk about later, this Big Bang Science Fair, that we invite students third through eighth grade of all the Catholic schools to come to a science fair together. And we showed two videos to those students that participated. The first one was an astronaut named Colonel Michael Hopkins, who is actually in space, in the space station, and filmed the video just for us.
Nice.
And he became Catholic later in life, and he talked about the transformation and how faith and science have a lot of connections, and literally shoot for the stars, because he did. There's also an organization called the Society of Catholic Scientists, and they put a video out just for us as well to encourage our students to find the connections. And they have a Catholic Scientist of the Week that our students and our schools look up from time to time, and really make sure we can draw these connections between our faith and science. But I think in the end, the significance is that there's an understanding of purpose. There's an understanding of cause and effect, and a mindset of problem identification and solution implementation. And learning those steps that you can learn in science class can really carry over throughout every subject and really throughout every aspect of your life, whether you're a student or an adult.
Yeah, well, undoubtedly so. That's one of the things that we tend to lean on, especially with Catholic Schools Week right around the corner here. And as we're thinking about our Catholic schools, that this is preparing kids not just for a job, but for a life. And that's one of the things that we tend to, well, maybe larger society tends to forget, but I'm so glad that Cisco is not forgetting that. Mike, let's come back to you. I want to explore more about this relationship between St. Thomas and Cisco and the C-STEM initiative and that sort of thing. Now, I'm guessing Brian already told us that there's STEM costs money, and I'm guessing that that the university at least has some resources that they're able to allow schools to use. I know my wife is a middle school science teacher in a Catholic school, and if she could get her hands on some university resources, she would be over the moon. So is that the purpose of the Lending Library at St. Thomas for this initiative, or does it look otherwise?
Yeah, it is a cooperation between donors at the university here and donors with the Catholic School Center of Excellence that when people are looking to give to a cause, they're looking to get the most value for their dollar. And that's one of the things that we're able to do is twofold. One, We have 78 Catholic schools, and they range from schools that have, you know, a considerable amount of money to, you know, little schools that don't have an extra dollar, you know. And so what we're able to do is, with working with these donors, acquire high-end, expensive scientific equipment, whether it be virtual reality goggles, which a class set is $10,000, or robotics, which help the students learn to code. And robots, you know, aren't cheap. technical scientific instruments, from high-end microscopes to working with a vernier. They're scientific measuring devices that allow, you know, middle school students to do all kinds of great experiments in the lab with engineering and physics, you know, and get very, very precise measurements. All the way down into engineering kits, where the students go through the design engineering process from beginning to end. And we service classes all the way preschool through eighth grade. And what we're able to do is, instead of a school buying one of these items and using it and then putting it on the shelf, we are able to keep these moving the whole year. And so many of our kits are booked. Mm. They're booked through the spring, and teachers already are booking for next year.
Wow.
And so it's absolutely free to the teachers. We deliver them right to the school office, whether it's delivered personally by me or by a courier service. And so not only are we providing the resources, but the teachers don't have to, like other lending libraries, they have to go to the library and pick them up.
Wow.
And so, you know, we're really trying to smooth the process, because we know how busy teachers are and how hard they work.
Yeah.
And so anything we can do to improve their curriculum and to make their lives easier, that's what we're here for.
Wonderful. Thanks, Mike. So, Brian, how long has this been going on? How long has C-STEM been in existence?
Well, that's probably a lot of people have opinions about that.
Okay.
C-STEM has been around for a while. It's been in our Catholic schools just for a few years. There are a couple of schools that have had specific training on having STEM integrated in a lot of their subjects, all their grades. This specific STEM lending library.
Right.
Oh, Mike, probably 3 years. Does that sound right?
This is our fourth year. Yep.
Fourth year, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So you have a little bit of ground underneath you. So, Brian, let me ask you, what kind of a response are you getting from teachers, from students, from parents regarding this lending library partnership?
Well, a huge response. You know, just this past year, we wanted to make sure that we had more options and opportunities for all the kids and all the students and all the teachers that want it. As Mike said, he sells himself short. He almost personally delivers all these things, and they are booked for almost the entire year. And as a former principal myself, the second we would put that flyer up in the teacher's lounge of going online and checking out some of these opportunities to basically rent some technology, they're almost all gone all the time. But to see teachers step out of their comfort zone a little bit and integrate technology and coding robots, virtual reality, some level, integrate these things into their schools and in their classrooms, it just makes for a wonderful exploratory environment that kids love.
Right.
I actually just got a video from a teacher, Peggy White, Mrs. White, who teaches at Ascension. And she sent us a video of her students coding a robot that would go across the classroom and knock over a bowling pin.
Okay.
And if you would ask those kids, hey, kids, today we're going to code a robot that's going to travel 30 feet and knock over a bowling pin, they would have said, there's no way. But you just don't know how to do it. But then you learn these skills. Again, it's problem identification and solution implementation. And the best part about it wasn't seeing the pins fall over. It was hearing the kids laughing, hearing the kids give each other high fives and complimenting each other because they did it. And those are the things that are just intangible that you can't find everywhere.
Right, right. You have to be genuine about that. That is something that is so real. And it just indicates that good learning that will stick with them for a long time is going on. Mike, when you're delivering these kits, I assume that teachers or whoever's receiving the kits are oftentimes, they're pretty excited to receive them, I would imagine.
They are. As a matter of fact, yesterday I was at Shakopee Area Catholic School delivering a kit called Rockets and Rovers to a kindergarten class. And it's so much fun getting into the classroom, seeing the excitement on the students' faces, the teacher introducing myself, which is always fun, right? Mm-hmm. But introducing the kit and the kids having the experience of knowing something fun is coming. And, you know, I remember school really, really well, and we had great times and we had school, you know.
Right.
And, you know, it was these memorable moments where you do something out of the norm that makes the learning stay with the student. And the other thing is that if they weren't having these opportunities, the first time you encounter something, usually you approach it with some hesitation. And these students, when they go on to, you know, the middle school, the high school, the college, they're going to have that confidence that I've done design engineer before.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And which is worth $1 million.
Yeah.
And, you know, and again, like Brian said, the pride I have in our teachers of getting outside their comfort zone, because one would imagine, at least I would, you know, I'm 45 and, you know, technology, you know, I wasn't born with this stuff.
Right.
It's not just the young teachers who are using this. I have teachers who every year I'm asking them, are you retiring? Are you retiring? Because one, they're so great, I hope they don't, you know. But two, it's not obvious, you know, who would be a user and who isn't. So yeah, it's great.
Yeah, wonderful. Well, Brian, just a couple seconds left here, but I wanted to give you an opportunity. If people want to learn more about C-STEM or about Cisco in general, where can they go?
Yeah, well, thank you for that. It's just an honor to talk to you, work with University of St. Thomas School of Engineering, to partner with them in this. This is transformational. To learn more, you can go to our website, cisco-mn.org. You'll see a big banner in the front. This is Impact. You click on that, and you'll find information on C-STEM and the STEM Lending Library.
All right. Wonderful. Well, Brian Regetz, Mike Gerard, we're so grateful that you joined us here on Practicing Catholic, and even more grateful of all the great things you're doing to help our Catholic schools just succeed and go further and deeper into STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math. Thank you both for joining us on Practicing Catholic.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Well, coming up on Practicing Catholic, how to walk with others in the journey of faith and help them know the love of Jesus and the parish community. We'll be right back after this.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chaplet with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Attending Mass each Sunday is something most of us are used to, and God willing, we have good relationships with our parish communities. But if you or someone you love hasn't been back to Mass in a while, whether for pandemic-related reasons or for simply being away from the faith, it can be nerve-wracking to darken the doorways of a church for the first time in a while. Joining us today to offer some tips on breaking down some of those barriers are Father Jim Livingston of the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake and Nick Brady, who's the director of the Next Steps program, which we'll hear more about in just a moment. Father, Nick, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patrick. It's good to be with you.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you, Patrick.
Yeah, wonderful. So, Father, let's start with you. You know, I've heard I don't know how many reasons why people will give that they're just a bit apprehensive about becoming a member of a parish or a to get on the books in a parish or to commit to one particular parish. What are some of the reasons that you've heard, or what are some of the obstacles to people joining and being part of a parish community?
Good question. It's a kind of a trend, I think, a demographic trend. People have a lot of options and all over the place, and people are grown up to be savvy consumers. And I think they just translate that into a parish community, probably not realizing the benefit of plugging into and being rooted in an actual community, because that's where the maturity happens and the growth happens. You can get a variety of stuff kind of on the shallow end of the pool, but it's not until you get into the deep end of the pool, I think, that you really experience a greater growth, spiritual growth, and so on.
Absolutely. And because of people not getting involved in the parish community, or maybe skirting along the edges, or perhaps they were involved, but then they got away from the parish, whether it was, as I said in my intro, whether through pandemic-related reasons, or they just they stopped going to church and just hadn't come back yet. In all these situations, at least at the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, you designed this Next Steps program. Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit about where this all came from and what are the ideas behind it?
Yeah, you know, kind of my go-to tagline that's developed after I came on board here and understanding Father Jim's vision has been that the idea that the Next Steps is really just about providing and guiding people to the very next step that Jesus is calling them to take, and to not only do that, but also to make and create the habit and discipline of taking that next step that Jesus is calling each of us to take. So the idea behind Next Steps is to do just that, to provide people with opportunities by appealing to the signs of our times to take that next step and to dive deeper into the relationship with Jesus and to equip them in how to do that. And, you know, to provide those opportunities and events that can help them take those steps.
Okay, wonderful. So, Father, let's bounce back to you then. Where in your mind, where did this come from as far as organizing people to get together and to actually helping them understand how to take the next step with someone else?
Well, I think I was motivated by some of the scuttlebutt that you hear these days about the demographic winter, if you will, where people are just not coming to church the way they used to. I hear some of my priest friends talk about downsizing, you know, and just the need for eventual downsizing. And I thought to myself, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I thought we had the power of the Holy Spirit behind us, you know, and in this particular church, I'm blessed to be here. It has a certain dynamism already. But then I realized, you know, that a lot of stuff that we're doing is, you know, helping serving those who are already on the inside. You know, there's a lot of activity generated. And I thought to myself, well, you know, what have the Pope's been saying the last, you know, several years about a new evangelization? And what are these numbers telling us? And when you see, you know, empty spots in the pews and you say, wow, okay, what is that telling us? So, you know, I looked around and I thought, well, I don't really see a lot in Catholic circles, you know, responding in a strategic way. So I just started listening to church podcasts, which, you know, I think some of the better ones are the Protestant ones, and they talk about next steps all the time. And I thought, well, that's an interesting phrase. And so I just started going down that road and listening and trying to learn. They say that, you know, to be a leader, you have to be a learner. And so I just, you know, kind of said, you know what? What can we learn? And so I kind of developed this image, this metaphor, if you will, of a swimming pool. And I thought to myself, you know, we got a lot of people in the deep end of the pool. But what about those who are outside looking in? How do we get them from the outside into the pool, into the shallow end? And how do you get people from the shallow end into the deep end? And then once they're in the deep end, how do you get them out of the deep end and into the lifeguard chair or to become a swimming coach? You know, there's got to be a next steps for everybody. And so we have a lot of adult you know, ministry stuff happening. But when it came time for us to say, you know what, we are short-staffed right now. We do need someone in adult ministry. What if we design that in such a way that it's not only a staff liaison for the existing stuff, but what if we thought outside of the box and designed a staff position for thinking through these next steps? Everybody's got a next step, and it's part of the whole evangelization picture. And so that's how it came to me. I just thought we've got to think outside the box on this.
Yeah, it is very evangelistic. I hear that in your description of it, and Nick, when you were talking about it too. Nick, let me ask you, you mentioned things like events, teaching, that sort of thing. What are some of the practicalities of the Next Step program? I mean, what are some of the, give me some examples of the things that you're doing to help encourage people to think outside the box and to look at the people who are on the outside looking in?
Yeah, so two events come to mind, our Trunk or Treat event and our Second Chances event. And both of those events are what we would call, borrowing the language from our youth ministry department, we'd call them a level one event. And they're really meant in terms of the target audience by level one. So the target audience is those people who are not already a part of the Church of St. Paul or who have not heard about the Church of St. Paul. So our Trunk or Treat event was an opportunity for people from the community, not only inside the church, but especially outside the church and in the Blaine and Ham Lake surrounding areas, for people to come and just experience the lives of the saints that were decked out in parishioners' trunks and to come by and grab a treat. It was kind of a spin on Halloween, if you will, and we turned it into a trunk or treat with biblical and saints themed trunk. So it was kind of an opportunity to evangelize people in a fun and cool way. You know, kids could come and learn about the lives of the saints, play some games, get a treat. And we were pleased to see, 600 plus people from the community turn up for that event. And that was something that actually happened before I came here, and we continued that and continued to expand it this year with our second time doing that. And then we had the Second Chances event, which again was another opportunity for those people who are not already inside the church. It was also an opportunity for our parishioners to invite their friends that aren't Catholic to this evening of prayer and music centered on the birth of Jesus, really the second chance that Jesus' birth was to each of us and to everyone who's not already a part of this community. And so those are just two practical, concrete examples of those level one evangelistic events that we're encouraging people to be a part of. And kind of an entryway before you even come to Mass, we want to just expose them to the kerygma through our actions and through the example that of serving them.
Nice, nice. Yes, I like it. Father, I want to go back to you and ask, so obviously, well, anytime I've been in some kind of a meeting where they ask, now, who out there has a relative, a friend, or a loved one who has left the Catholic Church, every hand in the room goes up. I mean, that's just kind of how it is. So I'm thinking, too, I mean, you've talked about those who are on the outside looking in, or perhaps they've never been, as Nick was saying, to the Church of St. Paul, or they haven't heard about it, they don't know anything about it, but there's a substantial portion of the population out there who have been, who were raised Catholic, who were, you know, maybe went to Catholic school, that sort of thing, but they're now, they've, for whatever reason, they've left the church. What can Next Steps do for them?
Well, that's a big question, and we're trying to figure that out. I mean, we don't have the answers to that. But by the way, Next Steps is not a program, it's a culture. It's really a mindset that we're trying to develop and to grow. I do think that the divide is a lot bigger than it's ever been. It used to be that if you weren't in the church per se, you didn't admit it all that much out loud, you still had a kind of an identity that, oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but you know what, I just don't go. These days, it's like you get to choose teams, and you get to be opposing, you know, the people who are in church and so on. Now, I don't know the answers to reaching people, but I do know that we have to start to look at things from you know, somebody, as you say, you know, walk in somebody else's shoes. If their issue is science versus religion, okay. We need to address that in a thoughtful way. If their issue is a generational thing, like, well, this, you know, church is for my parents and my grandparents, it's not for me, they don't really speak to my generation, okay, then we have to address that and say, okay, you know, we're not going to ditch being authentically Catholic, and we're not going to ditch being authentically who we are, but if I'm in the, myself, I'm the boomer generation, okay, but the millennial generation or the younger generation, that's the equivalent of my kids and my grandkids. And if I have a home that has enough love to welcome, you know, more kids, if you will, into my home, into my parish home, I'm going to try to figure out what makes them tick. If I've got a baby on the way, I'm going to paint the room with baby colors, you know, and put, you know, put baby stuff in there so the baby can have it. If I got a teenager, I'm gonna have teenager type stuff, and you know, around the house. It's just, you know, appropriate for age appropriate, basically, and that could be spiritually age appropriate as well. I'm not saying people are immature spiritually. I'm just saying that sometimes you just have to think again. What does the person? What's it like for the person who hasn't been in this church? What's their experience, and just try to see it from somebody else's eyes. I mean, yeah. That to me is a kind of the charism of hospitality.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and as I'm listening to you, Father, I'm thinking that, you know, just as you said, being able to meet someone where they are doesn't mean that we have to abandon who we are. And in fact, I think that's exactly what the Lord calls us to. That's the whole mystery of the incarnation, right? Is Him meeting us where we are so that right. We can go and then in turn meet them where they are. Well, just a couple minutes remaining here, but Nick, I wanted to make sure to ask you, if somebody listening is feeling called to explore this more, to find out more about next steps, to maybe even start something like this at their own parish, do you have any tips for how to people could get involved or learn more?
Yeah, well, I'd always just extend the invitation that we're more than happy to speak to anyone and to just be in community with our fellow director level peers and coordinators, just to learn from each other and to grow together and figure out what we can do to continue to be the light in our communities across the Archdiocese. But on another level, I think really the place that I would just start, if a fellow staff member or even a parishioner or someone who wants to bring their friend to church, just start with relationship. I think the cornerstone of what I've done here is just to begin to get to know people and to build community and to build upon the community that was already here. Because I know, and I think we all know, that through those relationships we have with people, we begin to mirror, and you know, in our small way, the relationship that God wants to have with us. Yeah. And so really a cornerstone of all these events, of these next steps, of everything that we're doing, it's rooted in relationship and community. And if we're not spending time building relationships and creating community with those that we're trying to serve and those already within the church, then we just can't be successful. So start with relationship and community.
Amen. That's a great place, great suggestion on where to start. Thanks for that, Nick. I appreciate that. And then Father, as we like to do whenever we have clergy on the show, we'd love to get a blessing from you, if you would, but maybe specifically a blessing as we continue our endeavors to walk the next step with others.
Sure. Patrick, Nick, all those who are listening, I call upon the Lord's blessing for you. I call upon the angels to guide you as the angels guided the people of Israel through the desert, one step at a time. As the Lord revealed the mystery of His love for us in His presence, one step at a time, I pray the Lord would open doors for you. The Lord has promised that whatever doors we knock on, those are the doors that shall be opened. Whatever gate we enter, that is the path that we will take. I pray that the next step for you brings you closer to Jesus Christ and to His kingdom and to His church. And may the Lord bless you and guide you on the way, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Father Jim Livingston, pastor of the Church of St. Paul in Ham Lake, and Nick Brady, director of their Next Steps program, or Next Steps Culture. I like that correction there, Father. Thank you for that. We're grateful that you both took the time to be with us here on Practicing Catholic. God bless you both.
God bless, Patrick.
Thank you so much.
All right. Catholic Schools Week is this coming week, as I said. Are you ready to celebrate? Next up, how you... Yes, you can celebrate, support, and encourage Catholic schools around the Archdiocese. Stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolates who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life, it might be vocations, it might be Catholic education, and they're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again, along with Cami Verthum, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you through the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley. Well, our elementary school years are some of the most formative years of our lives, and our schools are where that influence is most often exercised. The Catholic education has the power to transform hearts at a young age through grade school and beyond. Joining us today in anticipation of Catholic Schools Week are Jan Fasano and Gail Stoffel of the Archdiocesan Office for the Mission of Catholic Education. Jan is the Associate Director of Catholic Schools Drexel Mission Schools Initiative, and Gail serves as the Associate Director of Catholic Schools Leadership. Both are joining us today to share about the ways that we can all support our Catholic schools and to share about the impact of a solid Catholic education. Jan and Gail, welcome to the program.
So much.
Hello, Patrick.
It's a pleasure to have you both on. Thank you so much. Gail, let's start with you. What is the Office for the Mission for Catholic Education?
That's great, Patrick. Patrick, it is such a pleasure to be with you today, and a happy new year to you. The Mission for Catholic Education, the office as part of the Mission for Catholic Education, is an offshoot of the Archbishop's desire for the Archdiocese to recommit to Catholic education coming out of bankruptcy. It began in 2016 under the direction of Archbishop Hebda, and at the time, our auxiliary bishop, Bishop Cousins, the Vicar for Catholic Education, who's now in Crookston, recently installed as a bishop there. And the goal of our office, both Archbishop Hebda and Bishop Cousins, saw that there are many ways that families approach the church for education. Catholic schools, of course, being primary among those, and also parish religious education. And both bishops thought it would be a gift to our local church if we worked in concert to support both our parish programs and our Catholic schools in the formation of youth. So if you look at our mission statement, our goal is to support those parish and school programs so that at the local level, whether it's in the parish or the school, we can cultivate and form missionary disciples that go out and transform the world. The majority of our work is with pastors and with school leaders to make sure that they're providing quality and excellence in Catholic education throughout the Archdiocese. We have 187 parishes, as you know, and so many of those parishes have parish religious education programs and also 90 Catholic schools. So Catholic education and the mission of Catholic education and the work of our office is certainly a priority for our local church.
Ah, fantastic. It certainly is and should be as such. Jan, what is the Drexel Mission Schools Initiative?
Yeah, the Drexel Mission Schools in 2019, under the thoughtful work and direction of Archbishop Hebda, created the roadmap for excellence. And there's four priorities, and one priority is the Drexel Mission Schools Initiative. This initiative was created to really emphasize the need and our preferential option for the poor to help support schools and inspire academic excellence that cannot go through the normal tuition model funding. And so it's the collaboration of many generous donors and foundations working together with these schools to serve kids that are hot. The majority of the school is students of color that qualify for free and reduced lunch. And so the initiative is to really support these schools with a lot of the benefits and commitments that come with that, and to inspire the formation of the child, and not only academic excellence, but spiritual growth and community as well.
Right. Well, speaking of supporting the schools, now I'm confident that many of our listeners probably have some connection to Catholic schools. Like they either attended Catholic schools themselves, perhaps their children did, or their grandchildren are or did. And there's a lot of that, I'm sure, amongst our listening audience. But why is it important? And Yen, I'll start with you on this one. Why is it important for someone to support Catholic schools, even if they have no particular relationship with a Catholic school like that? They've never attended a Catholic school. Perhaps they don't have children, or their children are beyond school age. Why do they still need to support Catholic schools?
Well, the beauty of our Catholic faith is that it's universal. And we have one mission, which is to direct souls to the heart of Christ and get everyone to heaven. And in doing so, in supporting the Catholic schools, you have a direct impact through prayer or financial support or donations or just even your time to really shape and form these kids during these formative years. And I think when a community comes together, a parish comes together, individuals, families come together to say, this is important because this transmits our faith in the most meaningful way for a lot of these families who may not ever have the opportunity to encounter the faith. And so I think it's of great importance because it's a high priority for not only Archbishop Hebda and our local church, but as we've seen in so many of the great publicities, like Catholic schools are knocking it out of the park. We're making a huge difference, not only academically, but spiritually as well in the formation of these young souls that we get to help form. So I think that's probably the most important, is that although you may not have a child in Catholic schools, but certainly the mission of our greater church, this is one avenue to do it meaningfully and successfully.
Yeah. Gail, do you want to jump in on that too? Why is it important for people to support Catholic schools?
I'd love to, Patrick. Yeah. How much time do you have? I'm pretty biased here, but I'm glad to know that my bias is supported by the research. If you look to the research on Catholic education over the last 50 years, there is solid educational research that our Catholic schools make a difference. And our students in our Catholic schools are the future of our church. They're the future of our communities. And they're the future leaders of the world. And if you look at Catholic schools, just some quick facts on Catholic schools. Students who graduate Catholic schools are more likely to be civically engaged. They're more likely to go to Mass. They are more likely to consider vocations to the priesthood and religious life. And there's so many statistics that go on and on and on. Sometimes they call this in their research the Catholic school effect. I really believe that Catholic education and Catholic schools are the greatest gift to our country over the last century. And if we look at the good work that's going on here in the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis, our Catholic schools are growing. Our families see that there's something different. There's something transformational. There's something beautiful in our Catholic schools that's helping students to reach their full potential. And I think everyone, irregardless if they have a student in a Catholic school, if they're part of a parish that might not have a Catholic school, they can see the importance of forming our children with this mind to think critically and to be disciples, to be saints, to be scholars, and transform the world.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, you've convinced me, although I didn't really stand in need of convincing anyway, but I love the phrase, Gail, that Catholic schools are the greatest gift of our country over the last 100 years. I think that's a one to take home and to ponder. Yeah, great. Gail, I'll start with you on this one then. So how do the faithful of the Archdiocese, how can they support Catholic schools? Of course, yes, we can and should send our kids there, but what are the other ways that we can support Catholic schools?
Yeah, you know, Patrick, I'm so glad that we're having this interview at this time of year. January is an important month for our Catholic schools in a few different ways, where this interview is happening during Catholic Schools Week, which is our national sort of highlight of Catholic schools. And there are so many celebrations that are going on in our Catholic schools this week. So if you have a school in your parish, I would encourage you to find out what activities are going on and try to join in those festivities to pray for our Catholic schools. Of course, it seems so simple, but yet it's so important. But there's also a few other things going on this time of year. One, we have School Choice Week, which is usually celebrated the second to last week week of January, and that's a great time for us to remember that parents are the primary educators of their children. And we know that parents know best. And so as Catholic schools, we advocate for parental choice in education, for the educational options for parents. So we celebrate that in our Catholic schools, and we encourage people to get involved and learn more about parental choice in education. They can do that by reaching out to Minnesota Catholic Conference. They do a great job in helping advocate for school choice at the state level. And then we also are in re-enrollment season, and it's been very good news for our Catholic schools over these last 2 years in the pandemic, Patrick. We have seen an increase in enrollment both of these past 2 years since the pandemic. So if it's a young family or a family who's saying, you know, it might be time for us to consider what's happening in a Catholic school, now is a great time for them to consider making that choice and finding a local Catholic school and maybe going on a tour and learning more about what that Catholic school can offer for their family.
Mm. Yeah, great suggestions all, Gail. How about you, Yen? Any other suggestions about how people can support Catholic schools here in the local church?
Yeah, Gail obviously emphasized the importance and the transformational power of prayer, as we've seen in the growth of our local archdiocese and the Catholic schools here. And also, I would encourage people to maybe give of their time. I think being able to volunteer and to connect and visit the schools, giving of your time, whether it's in tutoring or being able to substitute or help out in any capacity, is a great gift to our schools and the leadership. I think if you have the opportunity, please, you know, send along gratitude to the teachers and the leaders that are heroically and sacrificially serving our children in the most beautiful of ways, in the most beautiful of challenges that's come out of this. And another way is, if you have the capacity and the discernment to do so, is to support our Catholic schools financially. I know at CCF there's a fund for Drexel Mission Schools to help support that cohort so that the initiative continues to thrive and therefore support the other schools as well. But most of all, offer gratitude, get involved, keep us in the prayer, and help celebrate and share the good news of the value and the impact our Catholic schools are making in the lives of our local church.
Wow. Okay, great. All right. So many ways that we can support and encourage and get behind our Catholic schools here in the local church, and so many reasons. Thank you both for that. So many reasons why we should. And we do join with you here at Practicing Catholic. We join with you in celebrating Catholic schools, especially in this Catholic Schools Week. So it's it's upon us. So just before we sign off, ladies, I'd like to get from both of you just, okay. So Yen, I wanted to make sure I got all this. You mentioned CCF, the Catholic Community Foundation. Their website is ccf-mn.org. Gail, I believe you mentioned Minnesota, the Catholic Conference, which is mncatholic.org. And in fact, I see mncatholic.org/school_choice. We'll get to you to the school choice page there. But yeah, let me go back to you. How could people find out more about the Office for Mission, the mission of Catholic schools, and if they'd like to get more involved?
Sure. We have a phenomenal and dedicated and passionate staff, as you can see in the way Gail so enthusiastically shared about all the wonderful reasons our Catholic schools are doing so well. So you could reach out to any of the staff. There's the website of www.archspm.org/OMCE, which stands for Office for the Mission of Catholic Education. I think that's a great place to start to reach out to any of us with any type of inquiry on how to get involved in shaping and forming the various Catholic schools in this archdiocese.
All right, wonderful. And Gail, any recommendations from you about how people can find out more?
Yes, Patrick, a shameless plug. A good part of my work is helping build a pipeline of teachers and leaders for our Catholic schools. And that's one of the greatest gifts, is that these teachers and leaders we have today, we stand on the shoulders of the priests and religious and teachers that have gone before us. So if you go to that Archdiocesan webpage for our office, there is a button that says Serve in Catholic Education. And you can learn more there about teaching or leading in our Catholic schools. We need credible and qualified teachers to continue this great mission. So if you think you're called to Catholic school teaching or leadership, we would love to hear from you and have a conversation with you.
Fantastic. All right. Well, Gail Stolfi-Yenfasano from the Office for the Mission of Catholic Education, so grateful you could join us on Practicing Catholic. God bless you both.
Thank you, Patrick.
All right. Paul and I are teed up and ready to highlight some of the great ways God is working in our midst and how you can continue to be involved. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
Every day I learn something new and I'm filled with so much joy. And after about 6 months, I went to confession and started going to Mass again and receiving the Eucharist. If it weren't for you and what you do, I'd still be lost out there.
We hear from so many who may have wandered away from the church, wandered away from the sacraments, and there's something about what they hear on Relevant Radio, the Holy Spirit at work in their lives, bringing them back to church.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Please consider making a donation today. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society today at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
Welcome back to Practicing Catholic. If you're looking for a new podcast this year, remember that you can listen to and share any of our podcasted interviews on SoundCloud, Spotify, or Google Podcasts. Just wander there over online to practicingcatholicshow.com for the links.
Have you and your spouse been married for 0 to 7 years? Looking for a way to enrich your marriage? The Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life is hosting the 2022 Newly Married Retreat, February 5th at St. Peter Mendota. It's a one-day retreat featuring Brad and Libby DuPont. You might remember them from last year's conversation about marriage enrichment. They'll cover the topics of developing couple values, decision-making, planning for success. Learn more at archspm.org/events. You've been to that, Cammie.
I have. It was great. We were actually there for the 2020 and 2021 retreats, and Brad and Libby are just great. They're so awesome. And kind of following along with that marriage enrichment theme, we have the Worldwide Marriage Encounter Weekend happening just before Valentine's Day here. It might just be exactly what you need to rekindle that romance in your marriage. This private weekend getaway happens just before Valentine's Day from February 11th through the 13th at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo. Check it out at archspm.org/events.
Catholic schools, if you'd like to learn more about the C-STEM program mentioned earlier in today's program, visit cisco-mn.com. That's cscoe-mn.com, Catholic Schools Center of Excellence website, where you can get plugged into all types of information about our Catholic schools.
And I know I said it during the interview, but I'll say it again. My wife would love to get her hands on some of those resources that the St. Thomas C-STEM Lending Library is doing. Holy cow. I'm just not sure that Mike delivers to Wisconsin, so...
maybe for a special delivery.
Yeah, right. Maybe some special, some fresh eggs. That's what I can give him. Yeah, some fresh eggs.
There we go.
Well, these are just a few of the many events going around our local church. Pop on over to archspm.org/events for a look at important faith-building events and activities offered around the Archdiocese.
And while you're online, don't forget to follow Practicing Catholic on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And like us. Visit practicingcatholicshow.com for links to our social media posts and all sorts of good stuff. Oodles and boodles.
Oodles
and boodles, yes. And we've also had our new auxiliary bishop elected and installed this past week. So just a reminder that we can offer up some prayers for Bishop Williams and just prayers of gratitude for our bishop that we have. And
we have some fantastic leadership in this archdiocese.
So good. And it's reflected in the laity, I must say. All right. But you know what? We got another show to do next weekend. So we're going to answer some frequently asked questions about spiritual direction. Angie Newman from St. Joseph's in West St. Paul provides some insight into this holy ministry. Marianne Kaharsky is also going to be with us. So she's sharing about the importance of defending women against the violence of abortion and the suffering that they can undergo. Lastly, Core Bishop Charbel Maroon is going to remind us about Maronite traditions. All that's coming up next week. In the meantime, hear the word, receive the grace, and practice the faith.
Thank you for listening to Practicing Catholic on Relevant Radio 1330. Practicing Catholic is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis. To listen to past shows or to contact us, visit practicingcatholicshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by searching Practicing Catholic Show. And we'll see you again next week.